You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, you know, the world is looking for copper at a record rate, and investors are looking for companies that have copper in their name and that have pounds in the ground. And here's a company that will answer both of those for you. You can't find a better play, and it's a polymetallic mine with probably hundreds of millions, if not billions, of pounds of copper in the ground. I am talking about Trilogy Metals, and we are really pleased to have with us today the CEO, Tony Giardini. Been on the show before. We've been working with you, Tony, for a while, and Trilogy, just in my opinion, represents so many positives that it would be hard to go wrong on it. But that's just my opinion. Hey, I'm not a financial analyst, but I do know something about mining companies, and it's great to have you back on again. If you want to take a look at the company, the website is trilogymetals.com, and make sure you sign up for notifications so you can get the latest news when we do. And you had some great news on January 11th in terms of governmental approvals required to move this project forward.
Carrie, first of all, thanks for having us back on the show. We really do appreciate it. We appreciate the support. And as you said, there's lots of information on the company, including the most recent press release on our website, trilogymetals.com. The company trades on Toronto and New York under the ticker symbol TMQ. So the news that we got in early January was really from the development agency, ADA, which is the state-owned agency in Alaska. And what they were able to do is negotiate right-of-ways with the Bureau of Land Management and National Park Service in terms of a road that's planned to really allow us to develop mines within the Ambler Mining District. So that was a really important factor. And the next thing that we hope to happen in terms of the relationship with ADA and the road is to enhance our agreement with them regarding detailed engineering. So we announced last year that we had an agreement to spend about $1 million together, 50-50, on the detailed engineering. We hope to expand that to cover the entire cost of a detailed engineering, and we should have an announcement in this month from ADA regarding that agreement, and then we'll seek approvals at the Trilogy level and South 32 levels to move that forward. So that's a big step in terms of the next phase of development as we move forward.
And we've all been waiting for this, so engineering road work on the road is continuing apace, and just good things happening. You mentioned the final updating your studies to show the extent of the resource, and that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, you know, it's quite amazing in the sense that it's been about a year since we entered into our partnership with South 32, our partner in the Ambler Mining District, and that's when they invested $145 million into Ambler Metals. So Ambler Metals is well funded, and since January of last year, what we've done is we've come out with a feasibility study at the Trilogy level indicating the viability of the Arctic deposit. ADA came out with respect to the record of decision on the road, and we put the management team in place at Ambler Metals to move the project forward. So we had a lot of success in 2020. I would say the biggest impact for us, unfortunately, was COVID, and we weren't able to have a field season. And so here we are in 2021. We're moving forward with the next phase of development on the road, the detailed engineering, and we have a program planned to commence in May, and we have a $27 million budget, which would take us from May through September, possibly into October. And we're hoping to drill 14,600 meters during that drill program. So there's going to be a lot of news coming out from Trilogy and Ambler Metals this year, and we expect to build on the good drill results we've had. And we're starting to see some support come back into the share price and feeling pretty good about how things are going so far.
And it seems like the project itself is really picking up momentum. All of the players are firmly behind it, the state, the Native American corporation and both companies, obviously, but it seems like it's really picking up momentum. It's getting closer.
You know, our story is very much about partnerships, and there's three main partnerships that we have. One is with South 32, our joint venture partner in the Amber Mining District. They're a great partner to have. ADA is the second one that we've talked about in terms of infrastructure development in the state of Alaska. And then the third one is really important in that it's NANA, which is a Native corporation. And NANA has the ability to either take a direct interest or net profit interest in mines that we develop in the district. And NANA also helps us in the state, because what we're looking at is we're looking at creating jobs for the NANA shareholders. We're looking at procurement opportunities within the district, and we're looking for them to be able to participate economically as the project goes forward. So we think that that helps to ensure that we get strong state support, and we would hope strong federal support in terms of developing the projects and the mines as we move forward. So that's a big part of our story, and I think it positions us well as we move into the next phase of development. We're really excited about this drill campaign. We're really excited about the project moving forward. Carrie, the last time that we talked, we had come up with a feasibility study. It was about $1.1 billion in terms of the NPV. When we take that study and we update it to current metal prices, it's more like $1.8 billion. So it really demonstrates to investors how leveraged we are to the underlying commodity prices. And you mentioned it in your initial comments. This is a polymetallic deposit. So there's copper, there's zinc, there's lead, there's gold, there's silver. And plus, the other beauty of the district is there's lots of other targets and potential in the district. So we've got a good story to tell. We're very well positioned as we head into 2021.
And it's funny because the last time we spoke, we were talking about $3 copper, and price of copper has gone way up. It's approaching probably hit $4 in the not too distant future. And like you said, that only makes the project much more attractive.
You know, there's a saying in our industry about grade is king, and we've got very high copper equivalent grades at Arctic, and we've got, you know, lots of exploration upside in the district. And I think you're right about copper. Copper's been on a bit of a tear in 2021. And when you think about, people focusing on electrification of a grid, electric vehicles, we had the recent announcement from General Motors where they're talking about converting their entire fleet to electric by 2035. And we expect other car companies will follow. So all of those vehicles will use up more copper. But in addition, it's really about the infrastructure that's required to support those vehicles as well, in terms of power generations, in terms of recharging, in terms of just additional electrification of a grid. And we're just not finding enough new mines to replace the mines that are going to be mined out. And when you look at the average grade of copper out there, you're talking about half of 1% in terms of the average grade of copper. So when we have a deposit like Arctic, which is over 4%, that's eight times that average grade. So we feel we're well positioned to see this project move forward. But we have to do it in a responsible manner. We're going to work with our partners, and we think we've got a great story in from a number of perspectives.
And the mines in North America, the district is in North America, in Alaska, and there just aren't any huge deposits like that anywhere near.
No, we're fortunate. This area has been explored for a long time, since the 60s, and there's been over $150 million of exploration dollars that have gone into the district. The biggest challenge has always been about infrastructure. And so working with ADA and looking forward to getting a private industrial use road only built to allow us to access the district will be key to effectively opening up the area for mining. And there's a rich mining history there, Carrie. Just for your listeners, it's important that they understand that NANA has a rich mining history, and there's the largest zinc mine in the world is actually located on NANA lands. It's called the Red Dog Mine. It's operated by Teck, and NANA is a partner in that mine. So we feel like we are working in an area where there's a lot of prospectivity, a lot of upside from an exploration perspective, and we've got partnerships that understand mining in a state where I think mining is going to become more important, because as they're transitioning from less exploration in the oil and gas side. They're looking to see responsible mine development. And we think our project ticks a lot of boxes, particularly given that we would be producing strategic metals like copper and zinc. And then we have this other deposit in the Ambler Mining District called Bornite, which has a very large cobalt resource. So we think that will obviously be important too in terms of electrification.
And it's an interesting trend as petroleum prices go down, as industry appears to perhaps be a declining industry, certainly not a growth industry like it was a number of years ago. A lot of countries are emphasizing mining as well, because they see that they need to replace the revenues lost from the royalties on petroleum. So Alaska is in the same position as much of the world, the oil producing world. They got to start looking for substitutes. And in addition, everybody knows we got to have more copper if this vision of an electrified future is to come about. But, you know, there's always clouds on the horizon, lawsuits, et cetera. Unfortunately, you haven't been exempt from it. But I just want to state to you out there, some of my biggest investment returns have come where there's a lawsuit discount or uncertainty to a company, much greater than what we're talking about with Trilogy. So lawsuits to be expected. They're just part of the business, aren't they, Tony?
They are. And, you know, in terms of a specific lawsuit, there's been a lawsuit filed with respect to the road process, and it's been filed effectively against the Bureau of Land Management. And what's happened is ADA, Ambler Metals, and the state of Alaska have all applied for intervener status, and I believe have been granted intervener status. And the lawsuits are available online in terms of the actual statement of facts. But what's being alleged is that there wasn't a process followed through the environmental assessment process. And so we feel we had not just dotted the I's and crossed the T's, but everything that needed to be done has been done. And we don't see it impacting our timeline in terms of how we move forward. So as I said, we've got a drill campaign this year for $27 million. Doesn't impact at all. We hope to enter into this agreement with ADA shortly, which would fund the detailed engineering. That was going to be about $70 million in total, so $35 million from each. So we feel pretty confident. We're prepared to put another $35 million into the story we're going to, you know, end up on the right side of this process. But there is due process. It has to be followed. We feel that that the work that was done with respect to the permitting on the road will all be well supported. So, you know, it'll play itself out. We're focused very much on what we can control, which is a drill campaign this year and moving the detailed engineering on the road forward and looking to the next step of mine development in the district.
And I can say, as a former practicing attorney, although I didn't specialize in environmental law, but it's something I was very conscious of. I watched, been involved with the company for a couple of years now. I watched watch the process unfold. And I think that most of what's taken place is pretty much bulletproof. And the fact that there is so much public support outpouring for the project makes your likelihood of success, if it ever gets to the merits, which I don't really believe it will. I think it's going to be disposed of procedurally, but that's just my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. I'm not representing you. I'm not involved in the case, but just as a knowledgeable outsider, it's just a rigor. You know, this is what you get when you try to do any large project in the United States these days. You're going to have litigation. The great thing is you're moving ahead with the engineering work, with the drill program. So good things are ahead. And again, got to go over to trilogymetals.com, sign up for the notifications so you'll be apprised of all of this. But Tony, to my way of thinking, it just presents a real opportunity on something that really shouldn't be trading where it is now. It's been low, but now it's perking up. So it might be the last opportunity to get into the stock before the big move happens.
Yeah, it's a great point you make. You know, last year, one of the things that we had a bit of an overhang that was impacting the stock in the fall. And we had a large block of shares that traded in early November. And I participated in sort of clearing that block. I purchased 200,000 of those shares myself, putting my own cash on the table and increasing my own share ownership. And I'm certainly looking for more opportunities to do that in the future. So we think that the stock is undervalued. We have a very supportive shareholder base. As you said on the website, there's lots of information. But what your listeners will see is that our shareholders, large shareholders, represent about 65% of the outstanding shares of a stock. And a number of those shareholders have been there right from the get-go when the company was spun out in 2012, and they've participated in financing since then. So we feel we've got a really supportive shareholder base. We're well-financed. We're sitting at about $12 million at Trilogy level, but more importantly, at the Ambler Mining level, we've got $140-plus million at that company, which means that we're funded to 2024, possibly 2025. And the other thing that I think is really important to understand is not just who the shareholders are, but I encourage people to have a look at the background of our board. We've got a great board. We've got shareholders or directors that have had a lot of involvement in other projects. One of our board members, Jim Gowans, was involved in building the Red Dog Mine. He, by the way, was also the president of a company called Arizona Mining, which was acquired by South 32 a couple of years ago. And so Jim brings lots of great skills to the team, given that he had involvement with South 32. He's had lots of history in Alaska. We've got a native Alaskan on the board, Willie Hensley, who has a long history in terms of land claim settlements in the state of Alaska. And we have a number of other directors that have been in the industry for a long time. So I think it's important that people understand the character and the composition of the board and the management team, and really look at what we're trying to do at Trilogy in terms of advancing this project and the partnerships that we have.
I could not agree with you more. We didn't even talk about how low your cost per pound is and all the other factors that go along to making really profitable mines and mining companies. We'll do that next time, but costs are lower than any other, just about any other major mine in the world. So that's a great thing too. So again, trilogymetals.com, and just go over there, sign up for the notifications right away. And Tony, I know we'll be talking with you more very shortly. Oh, ticker symbol TMQ. You find them both on the New York Stock Exchange and on the TSX. Tony, pleasure. We'll talk to you again real soon. Oh, any questions for Tony, myself, just email us, kl@carrylutz.com.
Carrie, thanks again for having us on the show.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.